Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 45 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
We're kind of monitoring those streams because everything's downstream basically from Carter and Boyd.
Officials with the State Transportation Cabinet are dealing with the aftermath of widespread flooding.
Some Kentucky Power customers are still waiting for power to be restored.
Governor Matt Bevin has declared a state of emergency.
Lawmakers in Frankfort are discussing restoration of voting rights for felons.
The Rowan County Public Library is hosting a free concert tonight.
In sports, the 16th regional tournament tips off in Moorhead State's Johnson Arena tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low of 27 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin has declared a state of emergency. The announcement is in response to recent flooding that has caused critical infrastructure damage to the Commonwealth. The governor's executive order enables the mobilization of state resources to be utilized in support of cities and counties as needed. To report weather-related damage, contact your local emergency management office.
Massive rains over the weekend took a toll throughout Carter County. Judge Executive Mike Malone has declared a state of emergency in response and is mobilizing efforts to determine just how much damage the rains and flooding have caused. He talks about what they found so far.
We had 6-7 that we knew of Saturday, and I don't know how much more the road foreman's found since he's been out today. Some of them aren't blocking roads yet, but they will be. You know, once they start, they only get worse. And we, most of ours are the slips and slides. I think they're going to end up being between $600,000 and $1 million at least.
Carter County had 27 different roads sustain damage during major rainfall last spring. Malone says he expects a similar outcome once the impact of this most recent rainfall is tallied. The damage is already widespread enough that Malone says county will have to contract out repair efforts as its road department is too small to take on the task.
Wolf County declared a state of emergency on Saturday night after heavy rains moved into the region. Many roads were flooded over the weekend, and conditions were so severe, Shooting Fork Road partially collapsed. According to WYMT, the collapse left 13 people unable to evacuate their homes. EMS Director Marcus Stevens talked to WYMT. He says officials are working on the issue.
So we're actually got a plan in place right now. We're having rocks shipped in. We've got an excavator on the way, and we've got the crews coming in to make a temporary pass so the residents can get out.
Officials say some citizens with flood damage may qualify for a cleanup kit based on severity. The American Red Cross is also assisting those affected by flood damage.
Officials with the State Department of Transportation Cabinet had a busy weekend dealing with the efforts of flooding, high winds, and mudslides. High water in Carter County impacted several area roads, but that was cleared up by Monday morning. KYTC spokesman Alan Blair says there are still some issues in other areas.
So in Boyd County, we have some trees down that is still impacting traffic, especially on 716 over in the Summit area between US 60 and the prison. And then we have Boy Scout Road, some trees and power lines and utility lines that is still impacting traffic. So, you know, we do ask people to watch out for that.
Blair says streams in Greenup County are being monitored as the floodwaters from higher elevations make their way into the area.
Kentucky Power crews are still working to get power back to homes in eastern Kentucky. On Sunday, almost 9,000 customers still had no power, but the numbers have decreased to just over 2,000 customers as of noon today. KP Corporate Communications Manager Allison Barker says the workers have been doing their best. There are some obstacles in their way.
We have about 360 Kentucky Power employees and contractors out in the field working to assess damage. There were some areas that were blocked by high water on Sunday, so we weren't even able to get in to see what was damaged. There have been mudslides and rock slides, so there's been a lot of challenges for our crews out in the field.
Barker expects all customers to have power by Tuesday night, but it could be later in rural areas.
The Department for Public Health is reminding Kentuckians to follow safety guidelines after severe flooding and water runoff events from recent rainfall across the state. DPH Commissioner Dr. Jeff Howard says residents should follow all guidelines related to food safety and mold removal to prevent unnecessary injury and illness. Howard says the most injuries and illnesses occur when those who are doing the cleaning fail to wear proper protective gear, exposing themselves to tetanus, electrocution, and exposure to harmful mold. DPH also cautions people to think about food safety if they have been affected by power outages. This includes keeping freezers cold to maintain the proper temperature for frozen foods. Refrigerated foods should be safe as long as power is out for no more than 4 hours.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
Lawmakers in one of the largest tobacco-producing states in the country have rejected a proposal that would have raised the smoking age to 21. Senate Bill 249 would have banned anyone under 21 from using tobacco products in Kentucky. An effort to pass the bill through the state Senate Agricultural Committee failed on Monday, despite support from Altria, one of the world's largest tobacco companies. Altria Vice President David Fernandez told lawmakers the proposal would put tobacco on par with alcohol and persuade federal regulators to ease up on restrictions for e-cigarettes and other vapor products. Committee Chairman Paul Hornback said lawmakers could vote on the bill again before adjourning next month. Last week, Virginia became the seventh state to ban tobacco use by anyone under 21 years of age.
Lawmakers in Frankfort today heard arguments about a push to restore voting rights to convicted felons. Kentucky remains one of only two states to permanently ban felons from voting. The Kentucky League of Voters tells LEX 18 they estimate the ban disenfranchises over 300,000 people in the Commonwealth. Representative George Brown has introduced House Bill 91, a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would reform the voting rights of felons. A similar bill is in the Senate. Two Kentucky senators from Louisville introduced Senate Bill 238 last month. The bill stipulates felons who have completed their sentence would be allowed to vote unless they were convicted of murder, sex crimes, treason, or bribery in an election. If the proposals pass the General Assembly, they will be placed on a public ballot in 2020.
The president has nominated a Kentucky woman to serve as his next ambassador to the United Nations. KNN's Haley Hansen has a story.
Kelly Knight Craft is currently the U.S. ambassador to Canada. The Lexington native graduated from the University of Kentucky in 1984, where she once served on the Board of Trustees. Her husband is Kentucky coal businessman Joe Craft. In a tweet, President Trump writes, quote, "Kelly has done an outstanding job representing our nation, and I have no doubt that, under her leadership, our country will be represented at the highest level." I'm Haley Hansen.
Domestic violence shelters in the Commonwealth have been sorting and distributing nearly $600,000 in food, personal items, gift cards, and donated items during the Shop and Share fundraiser. The event is coordinated by Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence to help abuse survivors. Lisa Gabbard is with the KDCDV. She tells officials one shelter collected $30,000 in goods alone.
That's less grocery shopping they have to do. That's less that they have to rely on other donations. So when folks come into shelter, they've got food, they've got school supplies for kids, they've got personal products for someone who may have fled in the night with nothing but the clothes on their back.
More than 120 grocery stores participated in the fundraiser to help these survivors.
The Moorhead State University Rock Ensemble will be performing a series of free concerts at the Round County Public Library. First concert will begin in the center of the library tonight at 6:30 and last for an hour. Marilyn Friedhoff is a librarian assistant at the Rowan County Public Library.
If you'd like more information, you can visit our website, rowancountylibrary.org, or you can call the library at 606-784-7137.
The MSU Rock Ensemble will continue their concerts March 11th and again on April 8th. Prizes will also be given out at each concert.
Morehead State University's Philosophy and Religion Club will be holding a lecture tomorrow on cruel and unusual punishment. Assistant Professor of Legal Studies David Grisey will be the guest speaker. Dr. Scott Davidson says the lecture is happening during a meeting of the Philosophy and Religious Club, but this topic is for everyone.
It's the regular meetings of the club, but yeah, we have this visiting professor who's has special expertise in the law, and so this appeals to a kind of wider audience, you know, people who are interested in the law and in politics, and not just philosophy.
The lecture will take place at 111 Raider Hall at 7 p.m. and is free to the public.
Morehead State University's East Kentucky Small Business Development Center is hosting the 20th annual Big Sandy Women's Business Symposium, scheduled for Tuesday in Paintsville. The event will include workshops, lunchtime entertainment, meals, and multiple keynote speakers, including Janice Sword-Way, president of Leadership Kentucky, and Kelly Swanson, an award-winning storyteller, Huffington Post contributor, and cast member of Fashion Hero on Amazon Prime. Michelle Spriggs is the management consultant for the Morehead State University Small Business Development Center in Prestonsburg. She says the event originally started with three sponsors, now has 25.
We actually have two sponsors that we will be presenting with awards. They are our legacy sponsors. They have sponsored this event since it began 20 years ago, AAA Real Estate Services in Pikeville and First Commonwealth Bank here in Prestonsburg. So we're really looking forward to honoring them.
The event will be held at the Ramada Hotel and the Conference Center in Paintsville. The cost is $30 and registration begins at 8:30 a.m.
Taking a look at your extended weather forecast for the week. Tonight, clear with a low around 26 degrees. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 51. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 32 degrees. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 61 degrees. Wednesday night, a 20% chance of showers after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 40 degrees. And Thursday, a 50% chance of showers mainly after 10 a.m., cloudy with a high near 48. Current temperatures in your listening area are 43 degrees in Flemingsburg, 44 degrees in Maysville, 45 degrees in Ashland, 46 degrees in Grayson, 47 degrees in Inez, 43 degrees in Mount Sterling, 45 degrees in Lexington, and 45 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, mass shootings have changed the culture of schools across America. A local school counselor explored some of those changes. WMKY's Kenealy Roberts has more.
Even before the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida in 2018, school districts across the nation were conducting active shooter drills. The drills began after the Columbine shooting in 1999. Now, 20 years later, parents are concerned these drills are doing more harm than good. Locally, some school officials have a very different point of view. Michelle Harless is a school counselor at Sheldon Clark High School. She says her students regularly focus on school safety.
When we have a lockdown drill, now with school safety, we keep the teachers have the classroom doors locked at all times anyways. So there's no, but if there was an active shooter in the building, the teachers are supposed to barricade the doors and have the students move into a corner of the classroom that is away from a window or away from the door so no one could see them, and then the students are to remain quiet.
Harless says lockdown drills are good for preparing for the real thing, especially since our school had a scare a few years ago.
It's probably been 3 or 4 years ago now. We found a bullet in one of our boys' restrooms, and we went on a lockdown drill, and we learned a lot from that because it was a real lockdown. We locked the whole school down pretty much all the day. Parents went crazy. You know, they wanted their kids and were like, we're not letting anyone go. Come or go.
Drills can cause panic, but the Martin County School tries to avoid that when they can.
Social media is not our friend in these things, especially with high school kids. Kids were calling their parents. They were posting on Facebook, you know, I'm scared, I'm at the high school, they're not letting me leave. You know, we've addressed the issue since that 3 years ago. Now, anytime we go into a lockdown drill, as soon as we call it, we say our principal posted on our school Facebook page, the students at the high school are practicing a lockdown drill. It is not real. There's not an emergency.
Harless says high school students can be somewhat desensitized to lockdowns, even with the elevated stress levels that accompany the drills.
About 2 weeks ago, we had in our chemistry lab, they had a battery explode. We actually had to evacuate the school because there was some fumes from the battery until they got it aired out. Like, the kids were like moseying out because they just thought it was a fire drill. And they weren't in any hurry to get out. And we had to go on the loudspeaker. This is a real threat. Everyone needs to exit the building.
But the lockdowns also increase student awareness.
A lot of times after we have our lockdown drills, because I think we only have to have two a year. So that's all we do. But it seems like after we have one, we get a lot more reports of threats afterwards, and that we spend a lot of time going to have to investigate, like, is this kid really telling the truth, or was this kid just mouthing off? You know, what kind of threat is it to identify? And it seems like when we have those incidences, it's a snowball effect.
Harless says the threats and lockdowns can make someone think twice about becoming a teacher.
We didn't really have anyone say they didn't want any of that, but it made us aware after that active shooting training this summer, we had probably about 50% of the teachers that would keep the doors locked. Now we have, I would say we have 90%.
These lockdown drills make faculty and staff more aware, Harless says.
You know, that makes them aware. It makes them aware, too, more of, like, when we have strangers on campus, like walking through the building. Used to, you wouldn't bat an eye. If someone strange was coming down the hallway, you wouldn't ask them what they were doing. You just let them walk. Now, you know, school personnel say, hi, can I help you? You know, you find out what they're doing. You don't just let them walk down the hallway.
Threats and lockdowns definitely make the faculty and staff more cautious.
In education, you have to err on the side of caution. I don't want to be that person on the news that is getting blasted because the counselor knew that they were going to be shooting up the school, and I said no.
For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts.
It's 448 and 45 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. And we're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Chaz Jenkins has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per-game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
Elliott takes on Bath in 16th regional action tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Chaz Jenkins. The 16th Region Boys Basketball Tournament kicks off tonight at Morehead State University when Elliott County takes on Bath County in the opener. The 24-3 Lions are coming off a 60-58 win over West Carter in the 62nd District Championship and went undefeated in district and regional play during the regular season. Elliott head coach Greg Atkins says he hopes that playing in high-profile games throughout the season will help his team handle the pressure of postseason expectations.
You know, coming through the All-A tournament, playing in Richmond, stepping out of the region, playing in some pretty big showcases in front of some sellout crowds in Western Kentucky. It's, you know, our kids have been in a lot of a lot of big loud situations. So, you know, we just rely on what we've done, and hopefully our body of work's good enough to prepare us for tonight.
Elliott and Bath tip off at 6:30 p.m. in Morehead. The winner of that game will go on to face the winner of the Lewis County and Ashland Blazer contest. Lewis County and Ashland Blazer square off in the nightcap of the 16th Regional Tournament's opening round tonight. The Lions won the 63rd District title over the Raceland Rams on Friday night. They take on an Ashland Blazer team they defeated 73-71 in the season opener. But Lewis head coach Joe Hampton says that game doesn't matter now that it's postseason tournament time.
They got to have some excellent basketball players on there, and I feel like with the records that they have, that they're a much better basketball team than that indicates. They've also got some pieces, or at least one major piece that they didn't have in Villers when they played us earlier. So you can kind of throw that game out the window, and it's going to be a dogfight tonight, in my opinion.
Ashland Blazer comes into the game off an overtime loss to Boyd County in the 64th District Championship last Thursday. The Lions and the Tomcats tip off at 8 p.m. tonight at Morehead State University. The Rowan County boys are gearing up for the first round of the 16th Regional Tournament on Tuesday. The Vikings will face off with West Carter at 6:30 p.m. The two teams met twice during regular season action, with the Vikings coming out on top in both games. Rowan coach Sean Thacker says he isn't surprised by the draw.
In the 11 years that I've been here, we've played them more than any other team in the region outside of our district opponents, whether it's been the EKC, whether it's been the regional tournament. We found each other quite frequently in tournament play. So not only have we played them a lot, we played them a lot in games that have a lot of weight to them.
The winner of Tuesday's matchup will advance to the semifinal round of the regional tournament. They play the winner of the Boyd County Raceland matchup on Friday at 8 p.m. The Morehead State men's basketball team is continuing to improve as they round out the regular season. The Eagles improved 7-9 in the Ohio Valley Conference and 11-18 in regular season play following their victory over Tennessee Tech Saturday. Head coach Preston Spradlin says the teams that work and cooperate together are the ones that see success.
I mean, the teams that are sticking together and having fun and competing and focused on getting better every day, which that's what our group's done, and they don't want their seasons to end. And so you keep fighting, keep scrapping, and you just find a way.
The Eagles are preparing for their final home game of the regular season this week. They host Murray State Thursday for a 7:35 tip-off. The Morehead State University men's golf team wrapped up their latest event yesterday. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
Facing what may be the team's toughest field of competition of the season, Morehead State men's golf concluded play at the Seminole Intercollegiate on Sunday. Competing against the tough field, senior Nick Wilkins parred 44 of the 54 holes in competition, leading the field in the category. Wilkins wrapped up the event, moving up the leaderboard 19 spots to finish tied for 22nd, fashioning a final round of 69, the team's lowest round score of the event. Overall, Wilkins marked down scores of 73, 74, and 69. Rounding out the Morehead State lineup, sophomore Zach Viminitz fired rounds of 78, 75, and 78 to finish 68th, while redshirt sophomore Ryan Gillum wrapped the event with scores of 74, 82, and 80 to finish 71st. Morehead State will return to action at the Pinehurst Intercollegiate in Pinehurst, North Carolina, on March 8th and 9th. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Finally in sports, Gonzaga is back atop the AP Top 25 Men's College Basketball poll. The University of Kentucky held steady at its number 4 spot. The Zags moved up a spot Monday to begin a second stint at number 1 this season, both times replacing Duke at the top with 44 of 64 first-place votes. Virginia moved up a spot to number 2 and had 15 first-place votes. The Blue Devils fell to third after losing at home to rival North Carolina. The Tar Heels climbed up to a season-high fifth behind Kentucky. Michigan State, Tennessee, Houston, Michigan, and Marquette rounded out the top 10. Preseason number 1 Kansas fell to 15th, the Jayhawks' lowest ranking since January 2014. There were 3 new additions to this week's poll, headlined by Wolford checking in at number 24 for the first AP poll appearance in program history. The Terriers are 16-0 in the Southern Conference, and their only losses have come against Power Conference teams UNC, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Mississippi State. Cincinnati and Washington both re-entered the poll, while Louisville, Ohio State, and reigning national champion Villanova slid out. And that's your look at sports. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Murray State on Thursday for their final regular season home games. The women's begin at 5:05, and the men tip off at 7:35. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose after President Trump said he would delay placing additional tariffs on Chinese goods, and equities also got a boost from deal-making activity. And at the close of the Dow, industrials did finish with a gain of 60.14 at 26,091.95. The S&P 500 was up 3.44 at 2796.11, and the NASDAQ composite was up 26.92 at 7554.46. Trump said in a series of tweets that the U.S. would not move tariffs on or would not add more tariffs on imports from China at the start of March. He cited substantial progress in bilateral talks between the world's two largest economies, including intellectual property protection and technology transfer issues. He did not state a new deadline, however. Chinese stocks rallied on Trump's tweets overnight. The Shanghai Composite surged 5.6%, posting its biggest one-day gain since July 9, 2015. And sentiment was also lifted after GE announced it will sell its biopharmaceutical business to Danaher for $21.4 billion. News of the deal sent GE shares up more than 6%, and Danaher stock also jumped 8.5%. In the commodities markets, oil is down 3.3% on comments from President Trump about oil prices being too high, and crude oil finished at $55.36 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,328.90 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks had a pretty good day with the Stock 600 index up 0.25%. And in Asia, stocks were very strong. The Shanghai Composite soared 5.6%, again on the news of the tariff deadline being lifted. And the Nikkei average was up 0.5%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Dow, DuPont, and Caterpillar, while the worst performers were Disney and Home Depot. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Danaher and GE, while the worst performers were H&R Block and TripAdvisor. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was U.S. Bancorp 33 cents at 51.61, CSX down 49 cents at 72.82, Kroger up 33 cents at 28.85, Marathon Petroleum down 27 cents at 64.75, AK Steel down a penny at 3.15, and PPL was up 10 cents to finish at 31.74. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, videotapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, MSU choirs will host a chili cook-off dinner and concert at the Moorhead First Baptist Church on Tuesday, February 26th. Dinner begins at 5:30 p.m., followed by the MSU Choral Showcase at 7:30. Enter your chili and eat for free. The concert is also free. Dinner tickets are $10 for adults, $8 for students, and free to children 6 and under. Proceeds support Moorhead State University Choir.
MSU's Black History Month film and discussion series will present Monsters and Men at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 26th, in Room 2 of Breckenridge Hall at Moorhead State University. The film screening is free and open to the public.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Cassidy Stearman, Grant Johnson, Nacogdoches Miller, Tandy Wallingford, Logan Pemberton, Jack Cottle, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. K&N's Haley Hansen, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and WMKY's Chaz Jenkins. Our feature segment today came from Keneally Roberts. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH and INS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.